This is the Create Your Own Life Show, episode 754, with Isabel Mercier.
They think that throwing a wide net is going to be safer, when in fact, that is hell of a lot more costly. Yeah. People are afraid they speak to the whole jungle instead of just picking one thing that they're really, really good at to get their foot in the door. See, what people don't understand, Jeremy, is that I hear this all the time. They go, yeah, but I don't just do this. I help people with an array of things. And I'm like, yes, you do. And I'm very happy about that. This is great. It's going to pay dividends later. You cannot drive on many highways at the same time. Right? Mm-hmm. You have to pick a highway and then you can take different turns.
This is the Create Your Own Life Show, where we interview people that are world-class performers, from Super Bowl champions to New York Times bestsellers to billionaires. We figure out what makes them tick and unpack it for you to do the same. I'm Jeremy Ryan Slate, and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we help you to create your own life. Hey everyone, Jeremy Slate here, and welcome to the Create Your Own Life Show. This is episode number 754. This is August the 10th, 2020, and we have a very exciting episode in store for you today. Someone that I had a really great time learning from, and we really dove deep in this interview and got deep to, you know, what it means to be who you are, what it means to have the courage to be who you are, true to who you are, whether that's as a person or as a brand, and, you know, what it really takes to hold those promises we keep, you know, with our public or, you know, with the people we know, or whether it's online, whether it's with a growth in a company, and what creating a future really looks like, and what being yourself really looks like. This is a really, really incredible conversation with Isabel Mercier today. And Isabel is one of the top people out there in brand positioning strategy. She's the co-founder of Leap Zone Strategies, and she's just a total badass. You know, like this woman is a no-nonsense dynamo. And I've got to tell you, I learned so much from her, from, you know, her really taking the branding world by storm to, you know, really deciding what she wants out of life and going to get that. And this is just an interview for you if you're somebody that is looking to make your branding more true to who you are. If you are looking to, you know, go next level with what you're doing and really connect it to who you are as a person, this is a really, really incredible interview. I learned so much from Isabel today, so I'm really excited to share this one with everyone out there. Before we jump into this interview, I just want to really quickly tell you about today's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Audible, and the kind people over at Audible have been kind enough, use that word twice, to offer all of our listeners a free month of their service, which includes a free audiobook download. And I know they have some Audible originals and stuff too, which you can also get as part of that, which is awesome. Right now, I actually just finished the last couple minutes yesterday, previous Create Your Own Life guest Brad Thor's book, Near Dark. So if you want to pick up that book or any other book for free, courtesy of Audible, just head over to jeremyryanslate.com/book. That's jeremyryanslate.com/book. Also, as you all know, I have a huge purpose to help a lot of people, to impact and change this planet, because we can do some incredible things when we really start to look at things that way. So you can help me do that by rating, subscribing, and reviewing the show. And you can open your smartphone right now, hit that subscribe button, leave us a hopefully 5-star review and give us some feedback on, you know, what you're liking about the show. Or if you're having some trouble doing that, the easy way is by going over to ratethispodcast.com/CYOL. All right, everyone, let's get into this interview with Isabel Mercier. Hey, everyone, I am super excited for today's guest. She is a total badass in the world of branding. Welcome to the Create Your Own Life Show, Isabel Mercier.
Woohoo! I'm here. I'm thrilled to be here with you, Jeremy.
Absolutely. Isabel, I've been checking out a lot of what you're doing, and you're just a total, I guess, rock star in a lot of ways. And I guess starting with that point, you know, just in a lot of what you do and a lot of your personal vibe, and even one of your products called, you know, Built to Rock, there's a really a Joan Jett badass type vibe about you. And I guess what inspires you to rock?
You know, oh my God, that's a good question. What inspires me to rock? You know, I'm all for being ourselves, or I'm being me.
Sure.
At every moment of the day, you see me here, you see me somewhere else. Me is me. But I understand that it takes boldness, it takes courage, it takes, you know, it takes a lot of badassery to know who you are, own who you are, and knowing it is one part, owning it is a different part. And truly, I was inspired by my mom. When I grew up, my mom is a total badass in her own way. And she always said to me, Isabel, if you can't say no to what you don't want, you won't have the time and the energy for what you do want. And she would say, Isabel, everybody else is taken. Just be you. And that's what allowed me to explore early on. Be yourself. Everybody else is taken. Exactly. Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
So
yeah.
I guess then, like, looking at it, was there something like specific that happened with your mom? Was there an experience that taught you that? Because I feel like there's a lot of people, they go through their whole life without really realizing that. Right. And it seems like you had a pretty early on experience to realize that and really kind of embrace it.
Yeah, you know, a couple of things. My mom was very unique in the way that she raised my brother and I. It was all about, first of all, I had to pitch anything and everything to her. I had to actually make a case for what I wanted to do or what I did not want to do. And I didn't think that that was funny at all at the time, because my friends had parents who just gave them what they wanted.
I had a very similar experience, so I'm laughing really hard at this one.
I know. It's like, you know what, Mom? You know, at some point she said, Isabel, don't forget that you chose me as a mother. And I'm like, you know, I don't think so. I think I would have chosen Genevieve's mother, you know? It's much easier to be Genevieve with her mom than me with you. But truly, I'm so grateful today because, as I said, I needed to pitch everything, which means I had to do my list of pros and cons. And then she taught me the power of trade-offs. She said, Isabel, you know, what are the trade-offs of you doing this instead of that? And all these questions had me think about what I want, what I don't want, what aligns with me, what doesn't align with me, and why, and what are the trade-offs? So as unpleasant as it was then, man, it's formed me into who I am today. And it's made me the best positioner in the world. I was born having to position things. And I grew up with that. So of course, today, this is what I do. This is what I'm good at, positioning anything to anybody, so long as it makes life better in my world and in their world, of course.
I can really, really appreciate that, because I feel like you're the first person to truly grasp what my growing up experience was like. It's like, no, Mom, like, this is why, like, you know, this is why I should like the Ninja Turtles. Trust me, these are all the reasons, and they're good. So I think it does create kind of this special, you know, ability to really stand out, like you're saying, in terms of positioning. And I want to kind of get into that, right? Like, I feel like a lot of people don't truly grasp what the right positioning is, whether it's as a personal brand, whether it's as a company. And, you know, there's a quote that was my senior quote in my yearbook coming out of high school. And it was, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Correct.
And I think that's what a lot of these brands don't really realize. So how do we decide, I guess, like what we stand for and then what the positioning is to make sure people know that?
Yeah, well, first we need to be very clear as to what position is, right? Positioning means that you're claiming a spot for either being the first, the best, or the only. That's positioning, right? Some stores are positioned as the cheapest, right? Like Walmart. Not that I, you know, love Walmart at all, but everybody knows Walmart versus Apple.
Right.
Apple stands for eliminating the status quo and making things beautifully efficient. Whereas Walmart is meant to give you what you need at a lesser price. So that is clear positioning. Positioning is about understanding who you are, what you do, who you do it for. And I have this thing about not speaking to the whole jungle. Because if you speak to every animal in the jungle, no one's going to care about what you do and what you have to offer. But first, you have to decide, do I want to be the first? Do I want to be the best? Or do I want to be the only? And once you know that, then you can actually start looking at your product, at your personal brands. At the end of the day, we're all known for something, right? And if you're not in control of that, someone else will be in control of that. They will dictate what you are instead of you being in the driver's seat of your life and of your product, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting too. There's a book, I think it was by Al Rees, called Positioning the Battle for Your Mind. And I think that a lot of times when we don't grab this positioning, like you're saying about whether you're the first, whether you're, you know, the cheapest, the best, the most quality, premium, whatever it is, like, there's no reason for you to stick in somebody's head, right? So I think we're looking at that, Isabel. Like, how do we make sure we grab that spot in somebody's head and we're not just, you know, vanilla number two or vanilla number three, or, you know what I mean? Like, how do we do that?
First, you have to be very clear about what your brand stands for, as you said earlier. And there are key ingredients to a brand. Mm-hmm. We call that your brand DNA, because mm-hmm. it's very unique to you. It's understanding how you want to leave people feeling. That's your mission. And a lot of people think a mission is a mission statement, and it's like blah, 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 blah. And it's mission statements actually is a swear word at LeapZone. The F word isn't, but mission statement is. We teach and train organizations just simply know how they want to leave people feeling, one or two words. At LeapZone, we want to leave people feeling on fire and unstoppable. Mm-hmm. When you know that and you align everything you do with delivering that, already you're starting to set yourself apart. There's another ingredient, which is your promise, your brand promise. Mm-hmm. We promise clarity, pivotal shifts, and momentum. A pizza place that came out, I think it was Domino's Pizza initially, that came out with 20-minute delivery or it's free. That's a promise. People hang their hat on that. They're like, oh, I'm going to order there because I'm going to have it within 20 minutes or it's free. So you need to find how is it that you want to make life better and for whom? Mm-hmm. And then you have to find ways. I speak with a lot of coaches and a lot of people who have a genius-based business, meaning mm-hmm. their time and talent is what they sell.
Sure.
Positioning is about being really good at taking the intangible and finding a way to make it tangible. So at LeapZone, we coach entrepreneurs and couplepreneurs and outliers to do even better. But the key here is we don't just say we're good at coaching. We have our own coaching methodology called the LeapZone Trifecta. Mm-hmm. And within our methodology, it's very clear. It's positioning, personality, performance. And within these three prongs, there are eight key areas for growth. I'm not going to go into them, but brand and marketing is one of them for sure. But truly, instead of if you were to work with a coach, would you go with a coach who says, I'm a good coach? Or would you go with a coach that says, I have a proven methodology? It is our own proprietary methodology. I've worked with this methodology for over 20 years, and I'm able to help people triple or 10x their business through what we do and how we do it. We might be the same equal badass coaches, but one understands the power of planting seeds and positioning that people go, oh my God, where the hell have you been all my life?
Well, I think you gave us a couple things to really unpack here, Isabel. And I think the first, I want to just go back to that last point you made about like the coaching industry. I feel like that's one of the major problems is everybody's just like, I'm a coach. It's not like, you know, I coach X people to do Y or whatever it may be. And, you know, this is what we stand for and whatever. And you're just going to fade out and nobody's going to remember you or know why they would select you. And that's really, really important to have that in. And I guess just going back to, I grabbed this somewhere on your site. And it was at LeapZone, we work with passionate entrepreneurs who thrive on delivering their genius, which is something you mentioned before, in a simple, impactful, and differentiating way. And I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, whether they're coaches, whether they're different businesses, they fail to pick a public, like right out of the gate, and they're in trouble. So why do people fail to pick a public? Is it because they're scared or, you know, what is that?
Yeah, they're scared. They think that throwing a wide net is going to be safer. When in fact, that is hell of a lot more costly.
Yeah.
Because if you go into a room of 3,000 people, you take a microphone and you go, hey, and everybody's mingling and they're talking and you go, hey, everybody, hey, everybody, hey, everybody, everybody's still continuing to speak. But if you go, all the Marthas in the audience, please come on stage right now. And I picked a name that is not that common. I didn't say John, right? I picked a name that's not that common because even though if you think it's not that common, believe me, on a planet of 7 billion people, there's a lot of Marthas. So the key here is that, yeah, people are afraid. They speak to the whole jungle instead of just picking one thing that they're really, really good at to get their foot in the door. See, what people don't understand, Jeremy, is that I hear this all the time. They go, yeah, but I don't just do this. I help people with an array of things. And I'm like, yes, you do. And I'm very happy about that. This is great. It's going to pay dividends later. You cannot drive on many highways at the same time. Right? Mm-hmm. You have to pick a highway and then you can take different turns. So Once you have your foot in the door and working with someone, then it's free range. Then you can actually teach them everything you want, everything under the sun that you think they need. But to get your foot in the door. So as an example, tangible example, I was working with a coach recently. Her absolute genius is to help people create pitches that will get them money. Mm-hmm. But she coaches them on mindset, on a bunch of different things. But now her niche is to work with high stakes presentations, right? Mm-hmm. People who have high stakes conversation and pitches. And of course, that's going to put her on the map because she's going to be known for that. And then she's going to help them with an array of different things. But first, you have to get your foot in the door with something that you're the best, the only, or the very first at. Otherwise, the road to getting a lineup of clients is going to be costly and extremely frustrating.
I love that because, you know, like we're in PRs. I feel like we're having those conversations with people a lot where you have to start a niche and come out from that. You can't start wide and then niche because you have no base, right? And if you don't have a base, people you're going to reach, you don't have people that could become your fans. And if you look at any of these people, right, you look at Oprah, you look at, you know, like 1-800-GOT-JUNK, you look at a lot of these large companies, they picked a niche and now they service a lot more people out of that. But I feel like there's this kind of scarcity thing around it, right? Like they're afraid. If they don't say they can service anybody, then their business isn't going to last. But you're not going to have a business that way, right?
That's right. And I think people are afraid of that as well because they think there's not enough people. Like there was one of our clients was a window washer. And we together picked a niche of only windows of homes by the ocean.
Oh, that's a cool business.
You know what? And he was like, oh, there's probably not going to be enough people. I guarantee you, first of all, in his business, it's not like he's looking for 3 million clients. Right? Yeah. He's looking for a certain amount of clients a year. Then that's the growth. Then the growth has a ceiling. Then if you want to scale, then it's a different issue. However, you've got to be known for one thing really well and really good. Then you can start expanding. Approaching it from a wide to potentially narrow later on will kill you.
So I want to quickly tell you about today's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Gusto, and this is actually the payroll management system that we use at my company, Command Your Brand. We've used them for years, absolutely love them, and they offer modern, easy payroll, benefits, and HR service to small business across the country. They were even named Best Online Payroll by PC Mag, and as a listener, you'll actually get $100 free just for trying the service via an Amazon gift card if you just head over to jeremyryanslate.com/gusto and get your free trial. As I said, we have used Gusto at Command Your Brand to run all of our payroll, handle all of our taxes, all of that filing, and it makes it just a snap. We absolutely love them. So if you want to get started with Gusto and get a $100 Amazon gift card just for getting started, head over to jeremyryanslate.com/gusto and get started with Gusto today. So I guess let's bring this around to, you know, we are in a super different world right now. Like the way businesses are have changed, the way business is done right now has changed. And, you know, one of the things, and I think it actually goes back to one of your presentations, is you talk about building a brand that thrives in any economy. Mm-hmm. And I guess when you really do that, like I know our business has grown through a lot of this. And I guess when you're looking at it, like when you build a brand that thrives in any economy, like what does that look like?
Well, literally, it all hangs in the positioning. It really does. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, literally gone are the days where you can wait for the phone to ring. You have to actually lead in your business. Mm-hmm. You have to provide a product or a service that is absolutely needed. The problem has to be big enough for anything, for that matter. For any, even if it's a $7 expense or investment, truly, you're not going to spend over and over and over $7 if you don't use it or if you don't, you know, you don't think it's useful. So the higher the amount of the investment to work with you, the narrower and the more poignant the positioning needs to be. And most importantly, the greater the problem needs to be, right? Mm-hmm. I'll give you a cool example. When we moved from Yale Town, downtown Vancouver, to this 5.5 acres retreat center here in Nanus Bay on Vancouver Island, I never had a driveway before because, you know, I had a condo. And now I had a very long and windy and steep driveway, which was with gravel. I did not like that. And at the end of the day, it looked cool anyways for our property. So I thought, I'll deal with it until the majority of the cars couldn't come up. And it became a real big problem. Every time it rained, we had to rake this thing. And it was just a total
I can't even imagine the winter. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely terrible. I never knew that there was concrete and paving companies. I never think about that. I don't think of paving. I ride the roads that are paved. That's it, right? But then I suddenly had a problem. I was like, oh my God, this thing is a pain in my ass. So I started looking on the highway. I saw big billboards of concrete and paving driveways. Never saw those before in my life. I came home, said to my wife, Margarita, oh my God, I found a paving company. There's a big billboard that's new. She's like, the billboard, I've been there for 4 years. You never noticed it. Why? Because you didn't need it. Mm-hmm. And another example that's really short, that's potent, in Vancouver, there's a coding company, a programming company that was looking for programmers with a specific programming language. They had big billboards all over Vancouver. It all looked like gibberish to the majority of us. It literally, you couldn't read a thing. And I was curious. I was like, what are these billboards? And I researched, of course, and it was only people who read that programming language could see that that company was hiring.
Mm.
That, my friends, is the epitome definition of positioning.
I love that, because especially when the economy's tougher, especially when things change, like, you have to have that positioning or you're just not going to make it, right? Like, you have to have that positioning because you won't be remembered.
And literally years ago, positioning was important. It's always been important. This is why big companies have ads on TV every 3 minutes. That is because of positioning. But truly today, with what's happening in the world, if you're not positioned intelligently, you will die. This is not an if, it's a when. And the when will be a hell of a lot closer if you're not positioned properly.
And I guess, like, looking at that, like, you know, whether it's the pandemic we're going on through right now or whether it's just, you know, the internet in general, do you feel like, I guess it does, but I guess, like, how do we stand out, you know, in a time where there's thousands of messages being hitting us every day? Like, how do we become memorable with that right positioning?
Yeah. And that goes into different layers of whom you're speaking to. So there's one of the brand ingredients is a premise, brand premise. And a premise is meant to be, it's meant to separate the room, right? It's meant to get people to go, holy shit, I want me some of that. Or this chick is on crack. That means nothing to me, right? You have to start dividing the room, which is counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. Once you start dividing the room, then you can start utilizing egoic labels like mothers who just had a baby within 6 months who are vegan. See the layers here? Those are important layers, because if you say mothers who have just had a baby, who have an issue with this, this, and that, and who are vegan, suddenly it's like a magnet. Only those people will see it. It's the best example with the programming billboard, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that they're not clear enough with the problem that they solve and for whom and how to communicate that in a way that people, you know, those comics when we were kids, you know, the big eyes, you know, that's what a brand premise does. It gets people to go, whoa, or nothing, crickets, right? But that's the goal, is you don't want to spend a bunch of time with people who are never going to buy.
Well, Isabel, the thing that gets me thinking of, because you're talking about bringing the right people in or pushing the right people off. And, like, you know, for me, I'm sure there's hundreds of examples, but the first person that comes to mind for me is, like, somebody like Gary Vee, right? Like, you either really like him or you don't like him. Like, nobody's kind of, you know, like, copacetic or in the middle on Gary Vee. And I guess, you know, how do we get to be okay with repelling the wrong people?
Well, let's put it this way. If you want to impact people, and if you want to eventually grow a business or scale a business that is highly profitable, you don't have a choice. You have to make friends with that. You have to make friends with that. So you have to remember, the impact that you want to create has to be more important than the fear of niching. It truly is. Like, when I did my first TED Talk, it was, I'll give that example because it's a relevant example. Having a TED Talk was not on my bucket list. It is on many people's bucket list, but it was certainly not on mine. It takes a lot of time and effort and skills to build something like that. And to tell you the truth, as much as I'm a great speaker and I speak a lot, that one freaked the crap out of me. And my desire to create impact goal of impacting 10 million people in my career was had to be greater than my fear of speaking in front of 5,000 people.
Mm.
Right. So you have to really be clear about what is the impact that you want to create and how connected, how vital, how important that impact is to you. And the greater the impact that you want to create and the more connected you are with that impact, then you absolutely have to counterbalance that with tools and methodologies and strategies that are going to help you get there faster. And speaking to the whole jungle is not one of them.
Well, I want to bring it back around to something we were talking about a little bit earlier, Isabel. And you talked about the idea of brand promises and, you know, really delivering on that. But, you know, we look at a lot of brands and, you know, they'll break their brand promises. And when that happens, can we fix that? Or, you know, how do we even deal with a situation like that when you break a brand promise?
Yeah, you know, it can be fixed. Absolutely. The goal, of course, is not to break the promise. And
right.
The goal is to have your squad, right, your whole team be free to make decisions that are going to align with delivering that brand promise. A lot of the disalignment in organizations are because there's a promise, but the employees don't have the freedom to make decisions that will, how many times do I hear, yeah, I don't have the power to make that decision. Yeah, I don't have the power to, and I'm talking about a 5% discount here. Like this, you know what I mean? I'm not talking about suddenly creating another planet. And truly, it's about when we do break the promise, it's how you deal with it that actually makes a difference. People mm-hmm. won't remember you breaking the promise if you resolve that intelligently. And again, this is where the mission is important. How do you want to leave people feeling? My team comes to me often saying, hey, in the spirit of leaving people feeling on fire and unstoppable, I feel like this here, this rule or this procedure is not in alignment with that. See, I have a team that comes to me and talks to me about that because it's ingrained that that is how we want to leave people feeling. And if we don't, then we have to rectify that. And being authentic, real, nobody likes plastic flowers, right? Being
right.
real and being owner, like being self-responsible for the mistakes that we make. I made a mistake this week. I make mistakes all the time, truly. And how I deal with them is what's important. I made a mistake. Someone pointed it out. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, how shitty must this have been? So we solved the issue. And then I went back to this person and said, thank you for one, bringing that up to us, because for every person that brings something up, seven others don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one, you need to be grateful for that. And then what we do is we let them know what we've implemented as a result of them finding this, so it doesn't occur again. So not only do they feel like a hero, mm-hmm. they also feel like they were part of the solution. So instead of being annoyed by the problem, they now are biggest advocates, right? So yeah.
I think this relates really well to an episode we had a few weeks ago, as we had with us Ryan Roland Smith, who used to pitch in the major leagues here in the US. And, you know, he talked about two players, right? They both took steroids, one being Andy Pettit, the other being Roger Clemens. Andy Pettit comes out and says, hey, you know, I'm so sorry. I was handling an injury. I take responsibility for this whole thing. And you know what? He's accepted right back into the baseball family.
Right.
He's done what he needs to do. Roger Clemens still says to this day, I didn't take him. I didn't do it. And because of that, he's been outcast. And I think it goes back to brand promise, right? Like, if you don't admit a fault, if you don't agree where you're wrong and kind of try to, you know, take responsibility for it, you're never going to fix it, right?
You're never going to fix it. And most of all, you're going to lose respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about being perfect as brands and as people. It's
yeah.
about being human.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with language on a website, language in marketing material. Speak human. Don't try to be or look better than you are. It's just being real. And I remember being in front of 3,000 people at the Queen Elizabeth Theater delivering my first TEDx called The Power of Zero Tolerance. And my biggest fear was to flub on stage in front of, now there was 3,000, but there was hundreds of thousands streaming live. And what happened? Within the first 6 minutes, I flubbed. Not only did I flub, I added a line. So Jeremy, you know when you learn something by heart?
Yeah.
It's the moment you add another word or you add something because I wanted to have fun with the audience, so I ad-libbed a line. But what comes after that line? My brain didn't know. My brain was like, I have no idea where to go. I could have tried to hit in it. I could have tried to backtrack and I could have been awkward. No, I just came out right and said, and where does that go? I don't know. I don't know where that goes. People thought in the audience that that was my next line. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I don't know where this goes. So I had an amazing moment with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
someone, a friend in the audience that had practiced with me for 7 months, knew the line. She threw me the line and I was just right back into it. And I literally, it made my TEDx experience phenomenal. People came to see me after and said, best TEDx of the day, truly, and loved your authenticity and your realness in that moment. You've given me wings to try myself.
Wow.
And see, you don't get that when things are perfect, right? Had I delivered it perfectly, I would have cheated some of these people from that experience and myself. So when you say, when we break our brand promise, the goal isn't to never, ever, ever, ever break the promise. Mistakes happen. Mm-hmm. It's how human you are being and how helpful and how self-responsible you are being while getting out of the muck.
I love that. The first time I was on TV a bunch of years ago, I was nervous as anything. I don't stutter. I stuttered on live TV. And I was like, well, at least we got that out of the way. And I feel like yeah, it gives you permission to then, you know, just kind of go for it because you got that thing that was scaring you out of the way.
Yeah.
So Isabel, mm-hmm. I want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago, talking about the idea of impact and purpose. And you said you want to impact 10 million people in your career. That's a lot of people to make an impact with. What inspires you to make that level of impact? Because a lot of people, that would scare them.
Yeah. You know, I literally see people every day live a life and operate a business that doesn't spark them.
Mm.
And I constantly see people saying yes to things when they should say no and when their heart says no. Or the contrary, you know, they say no for fear, yet their heart says yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm about alignment. So I have many, many tattoos. One of them here says happiness. That's on my inner arm. Happiness is when what I think, say, and do are in harmony.
Mm.
And that has been the driver of my life every day. And it's, even though I'm a bold individual and I barely have filters, still it takes boldness and courage to say what you mean to say. I always say, you know, say what you want to say and mean it. And there's way too many people who go through this life with mediocrity. And that, for me, to go from meh to hell yes is what drives me.
Well, I feel like as an entrepreneur, like, you know, you mentioned courage there. I feel like that can be like one of the toughest things for a lot of people. I feel like, you know, that can be the thing that makes or breaks people. Like when you look at it, where did you get courage from or what gave you courage?
You know, we're not born with it. That's for sure.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot of people say, right, Isabel, but you're a courage. You were born like this. Like, no, I work hard at being bold and staying bold. And for me, truly, when I was a kid, I was bullied. For those of you out there who have been bullied or are being bullied, there is a way out. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, my mom was pivotal in that. And I was 9 years old at the time. And that's when she did say to me, hey, Isabel, you know, if you can't say no to what you don't want, because this particular person was always bullying me in doing crazy things that I did not want to do. And I had a conversation with my mom and she talked to me about courage. And she talked to me about not doing the things that are not in alignment with me. And that's important for me to know that. So we had that conversation and it changed my life. It really did. And not to say that I'm not afraid. I'm afraid. I have fears. I have worries like everybody else. But she explained to me that the definition of courage, so I was 9, right? So she said, Isabel, courage is not the absence of fear. It's being able to go through the fear despite of it, right? Mm. And that slowly but surely shaped me in who I am today. And she would always say, what would Isabel do? What would real Isabel do? And so these are the conversation we had around the dinner table. What would real Isabel do? And I'd be like, well, here's what I would do, but I can't do that because of this. Like we always have great rationales as to why we should or shouldn't do something.
Right.
But then we would double click. This is a language we use. We would double click on the conversation and then we'd make a decision together. And then I'd have to be accountable to that decision despite of my fear. And in business, you know, I've been in business for 30 years. I've had a coach for 29 years. Mm. So again, having intelligent conversations, I talk about me being fearful and worried all the time. It's the accountability of being truly me in any given moment that makes me who I am today. And it's fulfilling. When you mean to say no and you say no, it's fulfilling. When you mean to say yes and you say yes, it's fueling, you know?
I truly applaud you for sharing that, because that, you know, sounded like a very difficult story to share, but it's a huge moment of growth. So thank you, Isabel.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I guess as we're just kind of winding down here, then, like, if you were to take a look at something you believed at 21 that you don't believe now, Isabel, what would you say that is?
There's a few things for sure. At 21, I didn't believe there was enough time. You know, time is a non-renewable resource, and I was always afraid of lack of time. And I've made friends with time right now. I know that, of course, we don't know. We all know that we will expire. We just don't know when.
Right.
But I know now how to morph time and how to carve time and how to carve time for what truly matters. So where I felt like I was always behind and always feeling like I wasn't doing enough. And so those two things, you know, being friends with time and making sure that we do carve time, I'm very responsible for my time for sure. I won't say I didn't have time. I'll say I didn't make the time. It makes me responsible for it, right? There was something else that came to mind with that that really made a difference for me. Oh, at 21, I believed that I wasn't enough. And I still have those moments that I feel like I'm not enough or not doing enough. But I know that as a whole, we are all enough as it is. It doesn't mean we don't want to grow. It doesn't mean we don't want to push boundaries. But we want to push boundaries for us to learn and to increase our mastery, not to fill a void of not enough.
I love that. Well, Isabel, like, talking about the idea of legacy, if we were far in the future and, you know, you could be the one to paint the legacy you're going to leave behind, like, tell us what that looks like.
You know, it would be a world where people respect themselves first and foremost. People respect each other, but mainly people would absolutely know what their genius is, and they would actually organize their life to amplify and give that genius the most amount of times and to most amount of people possible. Because truly, if we were all very aware of our gifts and we owned them and we organized our life and our businesses to deliver exactly that, the world would be a better place.
Well, Isabel, this has been an incredible conversation today. I know I personally got a lot out of it, and I'm sure our audience did as well. Where can they find out more about you, and where can they check out everything you're doing?
Yeah, leapzonestrategies.com is our website. On that website, there's so much free, awesome content. I'm the host of and creator of Leap TV. Leap TV is where episodes to help you with your brand and grow your business, all of that is free. We've got the two TED Talks that I've been a part of that's on that website as well, along with our Build to Rock program, which helps you position yourself as the best, the first, or the only. So Leap Zone Strategies is by far the best resource to find me. And of course, on Facebook, Isabel Mercier Turcotte or Leap Zone. And I'm all the social media channels. So try not to find me, really.
Very cool. Well, Isabel Mercier, thank you.
You're very welcome anytime.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for hanging out with Isabel and myself today. And I just appreciate her being so open and willing to share her story, which I know is just so empowering to all of you listening out there. And I just hope this is something that helps you guys get to the next level, or maybe figure out that first level that you've been working on. Because, you know, we all come at this from different walks of life, ways of operating, different struggles. And I think that, you know, there's different things that can communicate to all of us. And I know this really spoke to me, so I hope it spoke to you as well. So you can check out Isabel over at leapzonestrategies.com, or you can get the show notes for this episode and everything mentioned in this episode over at jeremyryanslate.com/754. Also, do not forget to subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever else you listen to the show, because as you know, it helps us to make a bigger impact and help more people. And you're a huge part in that. And I appreciate each and every one of you that do that. So you can do that over at jeremyryanslate.com/Apple Podcasts or /Spotify or /Stitcher, wherever it is that you listen. Do that, subscribe, rate, and review, and make sure you don't miss a new episode of this show. All right, everyone, have an amazing, amazing day, And very excited for Wednesday's episode because it's going to be a Create Your Own Life classic episode, but I feel like it's something that's even more relevant than the first time we did it, as we're going to have with us the host of Hardcore History, Dan Carlin. Very excited to share that episode with you if you did not catch that the first time, or maybe you did, and it's definitely kind of going to be interesting to hear it through the new lens of what we've kind of experienced this year. So it's going to be on Wednesday's episode, the host of Hardcore History, Dan Carlin. All right, everyone, have an amazing day. Now get out there and go create your own life.